All right, everybody, we are here today with a special episode. We don't normally do these lives during the day. Welcome. Oh, wrong way. There we go. Welcome, everybody. we are just kind of recording today because we have let's just say we've been busy and haven't had a chance to
that's a good way to say it. Yeah.
And haven't had a chance to record some stuff because we've been busy. And so we wanted to get hang out today and just kind of talk a little bit about the 90s summer, because now it's really not summer anymore, Joel. If you haven't noticed, it's almost winter. It's cold and rainy here in Indiana, and man, I'm not ready for the winter, but you know, it is what it is.
There's a certain crispness in the air here in late October. The leaves are out, they're falling. I think by the time it warms up during the day, it's lovely. It's nice for now.
But it gets dark so early now.
It does. Well, and you know, we have the time change coming up. This coming Sunday.
We have a time change coming up. So everything is gonna shift and change. Man. Yes. Yeah.
So fall back.
Well, I wanted to recap a little bit about the summer of the 90s. Because we talked earlier on an episode about the 90s summer, in which you were going to essentially take all technology away from your kids because you wanted to punish them. No, not really. You just wanted that.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah,
you wanted to get them out and about. You wanted to get them into the community and do what you did as a kid of the 90s, right? Ride your bike everywhere. You didn't have a cell phone.
No.
So tell me,
we had phones attached to the wall, Andy, like normal human beings.
So tell me a little bit about how that went. First off, what did you do? Like, what did you have them do?
Yeah. So the basic breakdown is that the 90s summer, you know, it's basically they had access to the same technology that they would have had access to, relatively speaking, in the 90s. And so, yeah, you can make phone calls, but what you're doing on the internet is highly limited. And all in all, it went well. So gaming system use, game systems went out of the house. They were as a reward for good behavior. We brought them back in for periods of time, whatever, if they wanted to play with their friends or whatever online. But by and large, yeah, greatly, greatly reduced. And we just encouraged them to get outside and do things, spend time with friends, go places, enjoy their youth. And some slight mixed results, as you might imagine.
Sure.
But so overall...
Yeah, so you have four kids that range from, how old is Aaron?
So Aaron will be 16 next month.
All right, and so then Molly is
nine.
So you really have a range of people. Oh, so tell me about the results. Tell me what happened. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you have anyone revolt?
Yeah, the results were, first of all, when we started this off, I had... this could not have gone better in this regard. So we start off, and then I had a seminar I gave at a national conference for Avana Network that you and I are both part of. And I talked about discipling an anxious generation and gave the seminar. And I will say I was really, really pleased. I packed out all three seminars. There was a high degree of interest in it. And those seminars are directly connected to technology use, specifically phone use and other sorts of media use. And so, you know, I'm what I'm advocating for is one particular thing is that we are our schools need to be places where cell phones are not readily available in order to help with learning and all that. And, you know, so kind of give an outline of saying, like, we particularly as people of faith might need to think differently about how we're engaging with this, particularly our young kids as their brains are forming and developing and all of that, like what it's doing, all that. And then obviously I got asked the great question in this seminar. Okay. Good insights, good information. Joel, what are you doing? And I was like, so glad you asked.
What am I doing?
We're doing 90s summer, and this is what it looks like, and kind of the elimination of a lot of just easy access to technology, gaming systems not readily accessible, phone usage, you know, in terms of gameplay and all that, like those things shut down. You know, I had a lot of adults in the room, and they were like, wow, this sounds
amazing.
Crazy amazing. And what I also heard though, Andy, was a lot of like, I think that's a great idea, from teenagers.
Okay. And so the teenagers were liking it.
Yeah. Because I don't want to like overstate this, but like a drug user knows that the drugs they're using are not good for them, but they're addicted to them, right? And it's hard for them to imagine how they would go on without them.
Right. And I think us adults are the same way. I mean, we realize how much we're using the phone.
Yeah, but
we have a tough time trying to put it down.
Right. And so when you talk to youth about this option, about an option, it's more of a, I would not choose this on my own. I'm not going to choose this on my own, but I wish an adult would step up and help me choose it.
Okay. Yeah.
And so that's like a little bit of a, like, because don't get me wrong, my kids pushed back on this at various times, particularly if they couldn't like readily come up with something to do like that wasn't technology based.
Sure. Yeah.
The moment that sense of like potential boredom, that they had an opportunity to be bored, they became upset and they began to bargain and plead and you know, at various times. Right. And I get that. And I, as a parent, feel, depending on how I am doing mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all of that, whether or not I have the capacity to navigate that and be the adult in the room.
Yeah.
Definitely is there. That's a thing, right? Because there are times, there are absolute times where I'm like, I will just put this, go play your stinking video game for a couple of hours, because that will give me a little breathing room, right? That's going to give me a little time to like recover.
So that. You found it challenged you also, because you as a parent had to adjust the way that you parented and didn't just use a toy as a pacifier or a device as a pacifier.
Yeah. Sure. That's definitely a thing. And just got to be a little more strategic about offering things for them to do. The outcomes are they rode their bikes a lot more. They went to the park a lot more. They several times came up with games that like all four of them could play. There was just more engagement in that sort of stuff. And they found out that they liked it. And I will say about two weeks in, once they had detoxed a little bit, I did notice, and I took note of this, and I would try to point it out, like when Jackie and I were interacting with each other, talking or whatever, I would try to point it out without it being super obvious, because you'll sabotage it. If you say it out loud in front of them, you'll sabotage it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
They interacted with each other in a much nicer way. They were
interesting.
They were more kind.
Were they less irritable? Like,
yes.
They got less irritable.
Yes. That is a great term. And I would say that is the irritability factor was decreased in general.
Interesting.
It was raised when they ran out of things to do, or like, oh, it's raining out and now I got like, oh, what are we going to do? You know? And
so it was raised when they couldn't readily find something else to do as an alternative.
Right. Because you're flexing a little bit of a muscle. Again, this would be true for all of us, of there's going to be points at which, it was not as easy to find alternative things to do to entertain themselves or whatever. And so it's like you had to push a little bit harder, like figure out like, oh, this might be, I might be reading, oh, God forbid, I might be reading a book for the next 30 minutes or something, you know, like, maybe I need to do that. Or,
right.
Molly, the younger kids, Molly in particular, she did a pretty good job on like the, like kind of getting out the craft kit and like making arts and crafts and doing stuff like that. So I definitely saw more of that. I also have a lot more, I have a lot of beads, small beads in my carpet now, but I'll take it. I'll take it. It's fine. And the kids got, you know, we're not there yet, but it's getting better in terms of like follow through on chores, like assign chores and a rotation of those sort of things. That's better. And we were able to say like, hey, you guys do, you know, we're going to go a couple weeks here. If you guys follow through on chores in a timely manner, we're not fighting and begging and pleading and all that. You guys can do some game, you know, you can do some gameplay.
So you didn't completely get rid of everything. You just pretty much use that as more of a reward later on in it, but you didn't use that as a crutch. You didn't. You essentially said because you were good, you got a chance to do this. And you earned this back as opposed to just this is default. Go do this because you. Yeah. OK.
Right. Yep. So that's basically what June, July and through mid August, I guess we did this for like 2.5 months, basically. And it was good. Now, I will say, and this is on me, it's totally on me. We had 3 of our 4 kids had fall break this last week. And that was for a full week. And we had the game systems back in. And I was probably, I was not prepared. I should have monitored that better because they, like a drug addict, went straight back to filling every empty spot.
Well, you know, I think that that's kind of normal. Not just for drug addicts, but I mean, like, that was a time that they were not in their normal rhythms and habits of life because, you know, they're out of habit because they're not normally in school. Just like summer, it takes a little bit for that to kick in. And there's that like transition time between school and summer break when they kind of do just chill out for a while before they get into the rhythm of, okay, I need to get up and do my daily chores. I need to get up and do this. I need to do my Bible reading and things like that. And so I think that's kind of normal. Now, when do you expect this project to end? Like, are you going to end it? Or are you going to go back to it now? Or have you gone back to it now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we probably like having this, honestly, you mentioning that having this conversation sort of reignited in my mind, like, okay, what does a, cause all of this was really scheduled and developed around summer break. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, we're in the school year. And so we probably need to, we probably need to revisit it. The one thing, because right now the status is that our kids have, on their phones, they have, you know, they have access that shuts off at the same time every night. And, although I feel like they've been bargaining for a little more time. The deal is that they both, one of them has had like rehearsals at school till and doesn't, you know, and doesn't quite drive yet. So is asked for like more time for his stuff to work.
And I think that's a give and take. That's a give and take thing. I think we've had to realize and go through some of that too, with, you know, some of our kids where it's like, okay, well, you know, you're going to be on this long trip. You know, I know, for instance, Reagan's a part of FFA and they are going to be, even like this week, they're going to be taking a trip for that. And it's always like, well, can I have some more time on Instagram because I'm going to be riding in the bus, the mini bus for 3 hours. And so it's a give and take. I mean, I try to make sure that she knows, hey, you need to make sure that you're engaging with other people and having good relationships, but also at the same time, I'm going to give you some more time just because like, I know how that is on the bus. If everyone else is in their phone, nose in the phone, what else are you supposed to do? Just sit and stare out the window.
Right. Right. I'm with you there. So it's a, and I think we're, we've also had conversation about, even in terms of like some of our usage filters and things like that, like changing that up and looking at some different options. But we need to re-engage on what usage looks like, because and here's the thing, like one of my kiddos, he's got a new, like a newer friend who I think is, you know, I think it's like, it's good that they've connected, but they have primarily connected through, they've connected through, playing, Minecraft. Like they've been like really heavy into Minecraft, and if I allowed it, they would go on for hours and hours and hours. So sure. it's like, well, hey, I'm glad you're having these conversations and you're doing something with another person. It's just like, can it not be all through this?
Sure.
Of this medium. So figuring that out. And then,
so quickly, Ty Miller.
Yeah, I see Ty's got a question.
What here. App or device does the auto shut off? That day is coming soon for him. So, what are you using to actually do the shut off of your internet at home?
Right. So that's Ty. We've got SurfNet where we are. I don't know what you're not too far away. And but the router setting specifically, Arrow. They use these Arrow. The Arrow. How, of course, it can't be spelled like normal. It's got to, whatever. But the routers, all the systems, you can specifically assign profiles to each device. And then the device is allowed to have these things running or these things not running. And then obviously we also, like on the iPhone platform, we're also using, whatchamacallit, Andy? The
Canopy? Or no, yeah. Yes.
Well, we've used Canopy. I think we've had a little bit of trouble with Canopy, like when it's been installed on our kids' phones.
We've
like,
had some trouble with that also. So
their phone does not work properly sometimes.
Yeah. There's a lot of, and then Ty, I would check into that. Like it's an app called Canopy. It does a lot of, the nice thing about that is because it goes beyond what Joel just said with the router. Cause the router only works when they're at home and it's easy to go, okay, I'm going to go off the internet, you know, I'm going to go off the home internet and go on cell. So the Canopy works well, cause it does a lot of filtering. Again, it's kind of a give and play. You got to kind of work with it and tweak it to make it work well for you. You know, I found sometimes, you know, I allow an app, but because there's a website in the background that the app uses that you don't know, you have to kind of try and figure that out. And it's been interesting too, cause it does do like there's been sometimes it's flagged some pictures that it thought were bad, but it actually wasn't bad. It was like something like just like, okay, well, like, yeah, that's not bad. Like it was something that one of my kids took, you know, on their phone of themselves, but it was not a bad picture at all. But yeah, for some reason Canopy thought it was.
Yeah. Again, AI technology being used there
right. for
a lot of that. We've thought about, I think, using Bark is another one. So we're kind of in the.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, BARK. I think we're probably switching over just to see. None of them, guys. I wish there was like one that didn't have any like hiccups whatsoever. But there is going to be some challenges, and then obviously on our iPhone, like on the parent
right. controls. You can do that. And that's one thing that I've relied on heavily too, is not just like Canopy I'm using for a lot of the like filtering of stuff. Cause I found that the iPhone doesn't do that very well at all. As far as like bad, you know, stuff that they shouldn't be getting to what I use the iPhone controls for is specifically things like time limits on apps and time limits on specific things, as opposed to like content filtering, because it doesn't do great on that, but it allows you to take more control of, okay, you've been on Instagram for 3 hours today. Like, don't do that. So,
yeah, stop it. Yeah. I've been without Instagram for, I think, over a month now, Andy.
And you're okay.
I got rid of it and nothing bad has happened. To me, so that's good.
There is a third arm growing out of your shoulder there, but
yeah.
Oh, wait, that's just the AI.
Yeah, I was doing, I think, probably more of, you know, the doom scroll on Instagram than anything else. And so I just kind of recognized, like, why?
Yeah.
And so just gotten rid of it. And because it's really just a lot of it is just doubling up what's on Facebook anyway. And so it's kind of like, so that's been okay. That's been all right. Yeah.
Awesome.
And I'm probably a more well-balanced human being.
You are probably, and that also goes along with your summer of the 90s. I mean, it's really, you're not only making your kids do it, but you're leading by example there.
We're trying. And it is a challenge, and we all just have to make, it's just one of those things that we're going to have to make like a determined decision to follow through on, because we believe, I mean, we just believe that the outcomes, the long-term game is worth it. And that investment and watching over our kids as their brain, particularly in their early brain development years, that they're not just being bombarded with all this stuff.
And not just that, but I mean, us as ourselves too, like I said, you know, it helps us be better parents too, because if we're not so engrossed in it, and I know I find that for myself too, when I'm super engrossed in the internet and on Facebook or Instagram or wherever, I'm more irritable as a parent. And so my job as a parent is not that great when that happens. So yeah,
I know. And it's I mean, it just, I'm reminded of all the stuff that we're exposed to, and some of it, I mean, even like the decent okay stuff is even challenging. Right now we've got I haven't checked in with our friends down in Montego Bay, Jamaica Relief Ministries. You know, I've been following like social media, I've been following with the hurricane, you know, with hurricanes going through, like I've been following how they're doing and what's going on with them. And that in of itself, just that alone is like kind of the stress inducing tension building sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's just from like a natural weather pattern, natural disaster, let alone any of the other things that are going on. And so I'm just aware, like we have to be vigilant about these things and monitor it. And, it is part of our formation. It's part of our discipleship. Mm-hmm. And, that goes for us, and that goes for our kids, and that goes for, just the communities that we're trying to, invest in. And and I should say, for all the I've had the fortunate experience of hanging around some educators and other youth leaders who are trying to implement these things and are trying to be intentional about it, and I just want to cheer them on, because it's if our kids can just unplug and be relational for some period of time, they're gonna be better for it.
Absolutely. So
we'll keep on keeping on.
Well, thanks, Joel, for giving us an update. And again, we'll be back with our normally scheduled show here soon. We just have gotten life has been crazy the last couple of weeks. And so we thought we'd come to you with a quick little update, which turned out to be almost a regular show. I mean, it's been 23 minutes now that we're recording.
That's how we do it, Andy. We just get chatting and talking, and here we are. So
awesome.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. And we hope to see everybody soon again.